Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is July 24th, 2023. We're here with Denise Salcedo. Denise, are you happy? You got everything you could possibly want in life.
I'm sorry, what?
You got everything you could possibly want
No, I don't. I literally do not. You know, it's funny that you say that because while I was watching Raw, well, during the commercial breaks, I literally did this whole, well, I'm going to cover this up, but I did this whole, like, what I want from the age of 31 to the age of 32. And I did like a full 20 bullet point list. So it's funny that you literally said that.
Well, you want Sean Ross Sapp to not make any money and live in a crack house. That's confirmed.
Haven't you been living in a crack house?
I did. I pretty much did. It's so funny because
you had a sinkhole, Sean.
So I did. So it was so funny. I know you saw, like I had mentioned to you, I got doxxed a while back and some turds posted my address. And Billy Batty, that turd was like, oi, he lives in a $300,000 house. And I'm like, bro, the house I lived in until last year was like $57,000 and it had a sinkhole. You think I'm ashamed of this? I'm proud of them. I'm very happy about where I live.
God, if I ever go to Kentucky, you really need to take me to your sinkhole house. That's like the number one thing I want to see in my life is your sinkhole house. Well, people, I do want to go there. It's my dream.
Well, people, what they want to see, Denise, is the actual photo of today when I agreed to give you a raise. Here it is, Denise.
Ew! Why would you do that?
I didn't do that. Somebody on Twitter did this.
That is the ugliest thing I've ever seen.
Well, listen. Stop it. I think that haircut works.
I need a screenshot.
That haircut works for you, Denise. Here's the great news, guys. Denise can now afford to get a perm.
I'm dying. That is the ugliest thing I've ever seen.
I'm ready for it. But also, Denise, is there anything else you notice?
No. Your
look
neck?
Down.
What
look
does your
down.
Neck look like?
Look
really
down,
smooth?
Denise.
Oh. Oh.
I fixed the frame.
Down. I thought we you meant like down.
No, we fixed the frame, Denise.
Oh, yeah, we finally did. About time. You know, I was asking for this for like ever. God, I feel like I haven't been here in like a month.
I know. It's been a while. But guys, we're here right now. Leave a thumbs up. Please subscribe. We're getting closer to 100,000 1,000 subscribers. And my friends, you will have plenty of good stuff to be subscribed for today. I dropped my interview with Cody Rhodes Wednesday, dropping one with Brandi Rhodes. We had news on the Cody Rhodes interview on Fightful Select all week. We got some on Brandi tomorrow. Of course, we've got WWE Raw plans. We're back on Fightful Select. I felt comfortable enough posting those again, even though there were some changes. We'll have more on that on Fightful Select Tuesday. What, Denise?
Why'd you stop posting them?
Are you really going to ask me this?
Oh, was it because of the changes and you didn't want people to see the changes?
Everything changed. Everything changed. But got Brandi this week here on the channel. We got Santos Escobar on Friday. He always says nice stuff about me. I appreciate that. But Denise.
You know, it's funny. Every time you mention Santos Escobar, you always say the exact same thing.
Because he's great.
He always says something nice about me. He always says something nice to me is what you say.
Well, I mean, he's just a wonderful, polite guy.
He actually really is.
But Cody was putting you over during my interview with you.
I know. I thought that was hilarious.
Like, what the hell?
I didn't mean to. I was just standing there.
I've mentioned this before, and I don't have to exactly hide this because Cody outright said, oh, we text each other. Cody will text me to root for Denise. It's very weird. He'll be like, way to go, Denise. And I'm like, you know, she's got Twitter, right? Like you can say way to go, Denise, directly to her. And it's absolutely fine. Like, it's okay.
Does it hurt your pride? Does it hurt your ego?
No, I just wonder why I'm your agent at this point.
I know a lot of people reach out to you to get in contact with me all the time.
I will say there was one person that approached you to try to get me to not cover something.
Actually, somebody approached me telling me that you were ruining their business and I didn't know what they were talking about. And so I like took pictures. I gave you all the information that they gave me. And like, it was a whole thing, man. Like that dude went off for like 20 minutes about how you were ruining his business. And I was like, bro, I don't even know what you're talking about, but I will let Sean know.
It's because we were covering Joshi Wrestling and they wanted us to wait 7 to 10 days before publishing it publicly instead of behind the paywall. I'm sure Stardom would have loved for Scott Edwards to post his interviews a week after the event that he was promoting actually happened. Sometimes you just run into strange situations.
I was confused. I thought at first he was trying to get a job. And I was like, you can email Sean and ask him for a job.
Oh, man. Well, anyway, and enough of that. We've got a lot of fun stuff on Fightful this week. Fightful Select is going to have some contract news, some very interesting contract news that is related kind of to WWE and AEW. We had a bunch of news this past week. A ton of stuff. We interviewed Willow. We've got the interview with Cody, with Brandi, with Santos Escobar. We got a bunch that we're peppering in and out. And then I'm turning around, going right back to Detroit to do even more interviews. Leave a thumbs up, subscribe. I'll plug FightfulSelect.com later. We had the Raw plans back on there today. We'll have producers, a lot of backstage notes, updates. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. That's the most direct way to support us tonight. Fuller Op, an IRL friend of mine, resubscribed to Fightful's Twitch channel. We used to do trampoline wrestling back in the day, Denise. Did you ever wrestle on a trampoline?
No.
I wrestled once in a fake ring
that my cousin had.
Really?
Oh, I've never told that story, actually.
Oh, Denise, tell us.
I wrestled when I was a kid in my cousin's like wrestling ring that he had at his house. And there was this girl that was like way bigger than me. Her name was Stephanie. And you would think that she would kick my ass, right? So she went in there and we were supposed to wrestle and everybody was watching. Well, I kicked her ass. And so for years, my cousin would always tell me like, oh yeah, I remember when you beat up Stephanie. We see her at family gatherings, it's like those far away, like she's not technically my relative. Like she's one of my relatives' relatives, but not my relative. And so every time I see her at a party, my cousin goes, oh yeah, that's Stephanie. Remember you beat her up? I think that's her name, Stephanie.
Ricardo, thank you for the super chat. Issei, am I missing something? I'm tipsy, but I enjoyed Raw tonight. Also, I'm almost three years as a member. Believe I'm the longest. You tell me. Luis says, I believe it's Valab, but don't quote me on that. Raw was fine. It was fine. Taylor Cannon says, hey, SRS, really enjoyed the interview with Cody. I did too. I had never interviewed Cody ever, period. Was this your first time too?
Yeah, it was my first time too.
Wow.
Yeah.
I found a thing where I had reached out to his agent in like 2016 and we had planned on doing one, but we didn't. So it's been a long time coming, but we got Jake Truman says, can you confirm the LA Knight segment at SummerSlam? No, I can't yet. Sorry. I'll work on it though. Nick Schwartz says, any news on the rumors of Bray potentially coming back at SummerSlam? If you all don't mind, sometimes when you say when the rumors of, say where they're from. I don't mind if you all do that, as long as you're not just outright plugging somebody else's stuff that's unreliable. But like, I haven't heard anything about that. I was told that he was still awaiting clearance. Denise, you interviewed Eric Young over the last week, who had some very nice things to say. But we had reported on FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business. He was supposed to be in like a new Wyatt stable. I don't know if it's supposed to be a Wyatt family, but it would have been Bo Dallas, likely Alexa Bliss, Bray Wyatt, and Eric Young. I mean, he seems like the kind of guy that could have pulled something like that off very, very well, I thought.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I think a lot of people that know Eric Young's work obviously know that he can do like, not just like in-ring wise, but we're talking also creative wise, just a lot of different stuff. So I think that would have been really interesting to see. And well, you know, things ended up going a different direction. He decided that that wasn't the path that he wanted to go down.
We've got Omar Diaz saying, Sean, thoughts on the X name change? We were actually joking about that before we went on the air. I think it is very, very pointless to buy a however many billion dollar entity and then change the name of it. Like what you could have just started your own thing at that point. I don't get it at all.
It keeps throwing me off because I always have the tab and I have like a bunch of tabs open, right? And so every time I'm like, oh, where's my Twitter tab? It's completely ruined my whole system. The little X confuses me.
We've got the Judgment Day in-ring promo. WWE are really milking Judgment Day for what they can. And they probably should because they're a hot act right now, Denise. The Dominic match last week left some stuff to be desired in the ring. Like I think he's a good character. He leaves a lot to be desired in the ring, but they are making him get those reps. They are getting him in the ring. We start off this show with Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens interrupting. Kevin Owens is like, we've done this before. We did the same exact thing before. Why are we doing it again? Well, this leads to Dominic being booked in a match against Sami Zayn, a North American title match. I kind of like it. Like, I'm usually a stickler for brand splits and stuff like that, Denise, but it's very clear NXT don't matter for a brand split. Nobody cares about it. It's whatever. It's exempt from it. What did you think of the opening promo that kicked off tonight?
Okay, so I'll start with the promo then. So first and foremost, I mean, kind of looking at everything that they've done with Dominic Mysterio. And first of all, I knew for a fact that they were going to have him. I mean, I didn't know for a fact, but I pretty much guessed that they were going to give him the NXT North American Championship. I felt like that was definitely the direction they were going in. And I could see it because they're going to reward him. The guy is getting heat, like regardless of whether or not you like it, he is getting that heat. And so when he came out and there was a moment where Rhea Ripley, by the way, she said he was the hottest man she knew. But for the first second, I thought she said hardest, but I think she actually said hottest. And so I was thinking about that for at least like a good minute or so. But the one thing that I kept thinking about over and over as I was watching this was how Dominic Mysterio, if you would have told me a couple months ago that this guy would be on NXT, on Raw, on SmackDown, literally on every show, doing segments, doing promos, doing matches, I don't know that I would have necessarily believed you. And so I have to say that through all of this, say what you want about Dominic Mysterio, but I have to say I am a fan right now. And I know, obviously, with the whole in-ring wise, I agree with you. Still a lot more to left to be desired. We've known this. This has been the thing for a while now. But even this match that he had with Sami Zayn, I didn't hate the match at all. And as I was watching this, we all knew pretty much how it was going to end, right? If there was, we knew that it's crazy to say that we knew watching this that Sami Zayn was actually going to lose this match and that Dominic was going to win. Like, there was no way Dominic was going to lose his belt already. And you knew some sort of shenanigans was going to occur. And the whole time I kept thinking, I wonder how they're actually going to do it. I wonder how they're actually going to have Dominic legitimately defeat Sami Zayn, right? And so I kept thinking that this entire time. And the thing that this got me going with was, damn, a couple months ago, we're watching Sami Zayn in one of the biggest storylines ever with Roman Reigns, and now we're nowhere near that anymore, and now this is where we're at. And so it got me thinking, I feel like right now with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, I feel like they're just roaming around trying to find out what sticks. They don't have some real program. It feels like we're so far away from where Sami and Roman were to where we are now with Sami. But anyways, I like what they're doing with Dominic.
Yeah, them putting him in a match with Sami makes an awful lot of sense. Man, Sami has been taking a lot of L's lately, it feels like. I mean, this guy was the hottest thing in wrestling 5 months ago, and now it feels like he's losing a lot, like to the Judgment Day a couple weeks ago.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Maybe it's just the show. It was Gunther as well. Of course, Gunther's gonna beat him sometimes. Like, that's gonna happen. It just feels like a lot over the course of a few months. Judgment Day, I know they beat them in, or they beat Sami and KO in May as well. A lot of that, but you want Sami Zayn in there with Dominic Mysterio. Dominic Mysterio has been working the live events. He's been working him against Cody Rhodes, against Seth Rollins. They had him working Butch last week. You want him in the ring with as many good people as possible. In the UK, they had him against Ricochet. So what I like is they're getting Dominic in the ring against a lot of different performers. Cody is more of a traditional entertainer that sort of picked up the work rate aspect. Rollins was a traditional work rate guy who picked up the entertainment aspect. Butch is a smaller guy who's going to work 100 miles an hour. Ricochet is a high flyer. I love that they're getting him several different looks at people, and I think that's very important. The big story of all this became Kevin Owens. Backstage, we find out later that he's dealing with an injury, and this came about because during the match, there was an attack on Kevin Owens. After everybody had been ejected, they throw him, they being Judgment Day, throw him back outside into the rampway. That distracts Sami Zayn, leads to the loss. Lots of conjecture about Kevin Owens. I know that there was somebody online that was saying, oh, no, he's not really hurt. Yes, he is legitimately hurt. I know that to be 100% accurate. He is legitimately hurt. Now, that being said, I don't have any information on a timetable. When I say he's dealing with a legitimate injury, it just means he is dealing with a legitimate injury. However, I don't know if that means, like, he could wrestle on NXT for all I know. Like, he could roll in there tomorrow night and face Wes Lee or some stuff like that. Or he could be out 2 or 3 months. I don't have a specific answer to a timetable or anything like that, but he has been dealing with an injury. Denise, that's a bummer. I hope it doesn't lead to the vacating of the titles, but it shouldn't anyway. I hate vacating titles, especially tag titles, especially when the tag titles in the past have been freebirded about a billion times. Also, when Sami Zayn holds this title, Denise, it'd be very easy to have him be like, no, I'm not going to vacate them. I'd rather defend them myself.
Well, also, we also just had so much happen with the women's tag team side of it. Yes. I feel like, oh, no, we would not want this right now with the men. So I hope this is a situation where if he is dealing with an injury, that it's not something that's going to take him out of action for several months. And I do hope that they find some way, because like I was saying, it feels like right now Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are just the two cool, popular guys hanging out backstage with gold and no real like purpose in terms of a storyline. In terms of a storyline, I don't feel like it's there. And that kind of sucks because, again, we're talking about these guys that were having the, you know, one of the biggest matches at WrestleMania against the Usos, freaking main event, closing out the show. And when they won the titles, I'm thinking, okay, we're going down this fast lane now with tons of great stuff for Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And coming off of that, I don't even really feel like they actually legitimately had anything real and concrete planned for these two as tag team champions. It's just really their popularity that is what is intriguing people.
Yeah, I completely agree. We've got rock hard Joel Woods saying, back when he was the hottest thing in wrestling, he was still losing a lot. Dude lost like 90% of his matches in the Bloodline. I'm going to go back and look because I feel like that may be misrepresented a little
bit. I don't know if it's 90%, but Sami Zayn was losing a whole lot. I do remember that.
Okay, as I'm looking right here, from December-ish through when he got his title shot, like just looking at this. Okay, so, you know, Roman Reigns obviously beat him, but before that, where are we at here? The Usos and Sami Zayn defeated the Judgment Day. He lost a match, but it was by DQ. Bloodline defeated KO, Street Profits. There was the Cena match, of course, but then he beat AJ. He beat Sheamus. The Bloodline won War Games. It wasn't quite as much.
Maybe he's also talking because I still remember him losing. Like, even before the Roman Reigns program started.
Oh, sure.
Even before that, I mean, like, they just had Sami just be Sami and, like, just losing and stuff, like even before this whole Bloodline situation started.
Yeah, I just feel like it's very pronounced now. But I mean, again, I don't mind a tag team champion losing a singles match, but obviously this one is like, eh.
This one was a different scenario because you knew what they were doing with Dominic. You knew that he wasn't going to win cleanly. That was not what they were going to do. And he wasn't about to lose his North American championship in his, what, second defense now? Yeah, second defense.
Lots of shenanigans tonight. Like almost on every match, there were shenanigans. Like nothing clean. Becky Lynch defeated Zoe Stark, but there were still shenanigans in the match. Trish got involved doing her thing. And Zoe Stark has just been a revelation on the main roster. And you can tell how much they trust her. And it was funny, Denise, not to toot our own horns, but when me and you were doing interviews with her in Dallas, we were like, it ain't going to be long before she's on the main roster. Like it became very, very evident that she was somebody that they were looking at and liking. I'll have more on that in the coming week or so on FightfulSelect.com. But like every time I see Zoe Stark, she's in there with Becky Lynch, who is as good as she's ever been in the ring. And she hangs right there. We knew Becky Lynch was going to win this match. It was the natural progression to set up the Trish match. But man, Zoe Stark is killing it. I'm so happy that they called her up.
So this match to me, first of all, there was a lot of things that I picked up on this one. And the main thing really was that obviously there's going to be a character development growth, right? Sure. Like you know that in order to be a main eventer on WrestleMania, not just for the men, but obviously for the women too, both sides of it, that you have to have the star package. You have to have the look, you have to have the clothes, you have to have the presence, you have to have all of those boxes checked. And the big thing, the big box that Zoe has already checked is the in-ring wrestling. She's got it. She went in there with Becky Lynch and they had this match that it would have seen, I don't know how many times, I don't know if this was the first time they legitimately wrestled to get like one of the first times, but I don't know how much more times they've wrestled, whatever. The point is that this was a very seamless match between the both of them. They wrestled like they had been wrestling each other so much more. And what this basically told me was that the second that Zoe Starks has her like full on like glow up on the main roster and she gets that star look, that star persona, that she can be one of those women in these main event matches in your, you know, your WrestleMania, so your SummerSlam, whatever premium live event it is. I really feel like today kind of showed a little glimpse of that. And we had already seen that before, but I think more so today, just seeing her actually have a longer, lengthier match with Becky Lynch, it told me that Zoe's going to get there for sure. I just think that now it's a matter of, you know, just again, having that glow up with her presence and her presentation.
Cody Rhodes promo. Oh, by the way, before we get into that, Becky had her backstage vignette or backstage segment as well, sort of hyping up everything, getting fired up, all that good stuff. Cody Rhodes cut his promo and he's straight up calling out Brock Lesnar, saying that he's not poking the bear, he's slapping the bear in the face, he wants the match. I haven't heard anything of a stipulation or anything like that, but I would have loved if they did a dog collar match. I think that would have been a great callback for a lot of things. Do you think that this Cody Brock match needs something? I'm pumped for like just to see what Cody's going to do after, because if he loses this, I'm going to be like, damn, really? They filming another documentary for me to get sad about? What's going on? Denise, he asked me on the steps of the red carpet. He goes, what'd you think of the documentary? And I said, well, you probably should have won the match. That would have probably been a better ending. Yeah. And also it needed more rubber chicken. But like, does this match need anything else for you?
I don't know. I'm not going to say, oh, it needs something else. But I do think that they have to distinguish it a whole lot from their first two matches. And however they decide to do that, I really want to. Because here's the thing. Like, I feel for me that when I think of the trilogy and the matches that Cody Rhodes had with Seth Rollins, they just stand out a lot more to me than the matches with Brock Lesnar. And I feel that this, you know, this rubber match with him and Brock has to really be that exclamation point of a match that makes me go, you know what? All of these weeks and months of storytelling between Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar was absolutely worth it because of this match. And I didn't feel that way with the first two matches. So for me, I mainly just want to have this match be the one going, you know what? It was freaking worth it. This is the match that we had been waiting to see between Cody and Brock Lesnar.
We got Nick DeVito saying, hey, Sean and Denise, hope you guys are doing well. Was wondering what you guys think about Cody's potential opponent after SummerSlam. If he wins, like, how do you not go towards the title? Like, but also I feel like that does sort of undermine it, because he straight up said, he said that he doesn't consider that the one. He said he would be honored to win it, but it's not finishing the story. And especially as we saw in that documentary, it's a very distinct drawn line WWE championship. That's what he wants, Denise.
Right, exactly. And it does. And I know that people, the second that they watch the documentary, that's going to be the thought that crosses everyone's mind. Everyone's going to be thinking about that WrestleMania 39 finish. But in regards to, what was your question again? Sorry, I lost you there for a second. I was going a direction and then I lost it. I was thinking about this actually while you were discussing this, and I was thinking that Gunther to me feels like a big time competitor. You got a great heel.
Rumble history.
Exactly. There you go. That too. And obviously right now what he's doing with Drew McIntyre, we'll talk about that later, but it's like, okay, cool. They can do their thing. And I do want to see Cody Gunther next. I feel like I can't think of somebody else right now on the roster that has, because how do you follow up Brock Lesnar? Honestly, how do you follow up Brock Lesnar? And who else can have that? Like, I feel like you need to get these big opponents for Cody so that if you do tell the story of him finally getting back to Roman Reigns, if they decide to do this match at WrestleMania with Roman and Cody once again, I don't know. If that is the plan, you want to have this roster of people that Cody Rhodes has beaten that are like huge names. And you already got, I'm not counting Dominic Mysterio. I'm definitely going to count Brock Lesnar. And so Gunther, to me, would be the name that makes sense to add to that list.
We'll talk more about Gunther later on. But RS says, fun stuff calling you, Denise, and that Van Fleet guy, Chris Van Fleet guy, the new punk rock. It's good to see the new gen reporters providing an opinion and reports on the product. Keep hustling. Yeah, I dare I say that we're doing pretty good at this stuff. I think we are. And It is nice to have the talent that we're covering, who we haven't always said great things about their work, say, hey, you're doing good work. That's awfully nice.
Why would you say that, Sean?
Listen, there was a lot of criticism levied about the Codyverse in AEW.
Yeah, I know. I'm not going to lie to you. But you know what's funny, though?
The good ones don't get their feelings hurt over that. They know that.
Well, you're not directly talking about the person. You're talking about what's going on in the story, and they recognize that.
And there are some people that don't understand that. There are some people that don't understand
that. No, that is true. That is 1,000% true. And it's sometimes scary because you don't never know, because you just never know if someone secretly hates you. And you're just like, please don't hate me.
Yeah. And I mean, ultimately, our opinion means as much as any of the thousands of people that are watching this too. We enjoy wrestling. We're talking about it. We just happen to have a show.
Has it ever happened to you, Sean, where there was like when you were a kid and like, let's say you didn't like a wrestler and then you met him like years and years later and they end up being like the nicest person ever?
All the time.
Right? Oh my God. All I literally always think this, like whoever, like whatever wrestler I didn't like when I was a kid that I wasn't a fan of for whatever reason, all of a sudden I meet them in person and they're like way nicer than like any of my faves were, which is always makes me feel really bad.
Yeah. I mean, there's an awful lot like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That happens.
Nick Schwartz says the Bray Wyatt thing, was something from BWE. Then Cultaholic made a video about Undertaker bringing, him back. I haven't heard anything about that as of yet. Not a thing about Bray. At last I heard he was still trying to get cleared, but Ciampa speaks to Shinsuke Nakamura backstage. There is no Johnny Gargano. He hasn't popped up.
What's happening, Sean?
He's cleared. He's fine. He was at San Diego Comic-Con the other day, too. Chilling out, hanging out.
Is it a creative issue, you think? Your estimated guess?
He was supposed to be back. He was supposed to be back within the last month. And pretty soon, I feel like I should probably just write the report on it, because I don't know if they're going to do the angle. But what we did
so
get...
So you know that there was an angle in place and clearly it hasn't happened and you're... Okay, got it.
Yeah. But Bronson Reed defeated Tommaso Ciampa. This was... I love this match. Like, Ciampa hitting the... Good God. Why the air raid crash on Bronson Reed was just unbelievable. Like, this is the thing that I've wanted to see brought out of Ciampa. It's the type of thing I'd like to see brought out of Johnny Gargano too, if he were here, Denise.
Someone needs to rewind that clip. Sean, your face, you were like, this is what I want to see.
Yeah, I would love to see it.
Here's the thing that I was thinking about during this match. So a couple weeks ago, I was sitting here in this exact same seat, and one of my biggest criticisms of Raw was that we were getting all of these matches that you knew could be better than what we were actually getting on TV. Do you remember this? Like, I remember coming out here and being like, damn, we're getting these like 1 minute, 2 minute matches that are ass when they could be so much better. And you know that they can be better because of the wrestlers involved, but then they're kind of cheating us of getting an actual fruitful match. And so one of the things that I did notice from today's Raw, with a couple of matches, we already spoke about one of them, which was Becky Lynch and Zoe Stark. This one was another one where they were actually giving us time with these people, where we actually got time, except for maybe like the Damian Priest match. We actually got time with some of these matches. And to me, that was like the biggest thing that really stood out to me about this Raw. So I was thankful for that.
Yeah, some of the absences are really being highlighted right now. Like I feel like on SmackDown even too, like the people that aren't on the show are getting an awful lot of like, why aren't they featured on the show? Like, why aren't they around?
Who are we talking about? Anyone in particular on SmackDown?
AJ barely being on the show and then popping up for the Cross stuff. But
oh, okay. I thought he was injured. Maybe I was dreaming that.
KE775 says, Ciampa versus Nakamura, Reed bringing Gargano out of the abyss. Reed looks awesome. I would honestly really, really like a Bronson Reed Nakamura tag team. I think that would be very cool. Like, very, like, what the hell else are they doing with them? Nothing.
I don't know. They did start doing those vignettes. Have they done, did they do one last week by any chance? One of those Bronson Reed vignettes, the ones where he comes out and he says, I am him or something like that. I forgot what he says. I forgot. What did he? Oh, something about a nice guy and he's not a nice guy anymore.
Yeah, he's Mr. Nice Guy.
That's yeah, yeah. There you go. I was like, he said something. They haven't done those anymore, have they?
I don't think so. But you know what, Denise?
What?
You'll be a lot nicer. You'll be a lot nicer if you get your sleep. When I'm traveling, the thing I miss the most is my bed. That's because I've got a Helix Sleep mattress. I worked with Helix Sleep before it ever became HelixSleep.com/Fightful. During the pandemic, I needed a new mattress. My back was hurting. I was sleeping on a slab of memory foam. It was not working for me, but I didn't want to go to a mattress store. I wouldn't have wanted to even if it was the pandemic at the time. But I looked up and found HelixSleep.com/Fightful. And I found a ton of 5-star reviews. I found a ton of benefits. There are so many different options. There are options for people who sleep too warm, people that want their spine aligned, people who want just anything. And how do you find what you need from HelixSleep.com/Fightful? You take an online questionnaire, and when you fill it out, they will find your preferences and match you up to the mattress that works for you. I got the Dusk Lux model. And right now, you can get 25% off any purchase for a limited time using the code FIGHTFUL. And you get 2 free dream pillows. I've had a lot of neck issues, and HelixSleep.com/Fightful has really helped me out in this regard. It's been put over by Wired, GQ, Good Housekeeping, all kinds of people. Most importantly, Fightful. But they have over 30,000 5-star reviews. They have great flexible financing plans, and it comes straight to your door. If you don't like it, after 100 nights, they'll just come get it for you. What do you have to lose? Invest in your sleep. HelixSleep.com/Fightful. Check it out, HelixSleep.com/Fightful.
In that video?
I don't know. I probably woke up and decided to record some ad videos, Denise.
Your hair was all weird.
Oh, well, sorry. I don't put a lot of time or thought into my hair, Denise.
I'm sorry. Maybe, you should. Maybe. You're on camera.
I'll just hire a hair department now. I can afford that now, Denise.
Yeah, you can.
KM says, matches have been humpers, but it's been like a month of the interference story angle. They just switched Ricochet for Ciampa. Is this really the best they could come up with? It does seem like a lazy transition out of that. It's just like they swapped one guy in, one guy out, and Ricochet just stopped giving a shit. Like, he just stopped caring about it because he was worried about Logan Paul. They got to come up with something better than this, Denise.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's been kind of a little bit of a mess. Like, I feel like if I'm – so last week I only got to watch, like, part of Raw. And so I feel like I had to fill in a lot of blanks of what had happened the week prior and then to what I was seeing this week. I was going like, damn, if you're somebody who missed, like, 2 or 3 weeks of Raw, you're kind of screwed. You need some help getting back in here and seeing what's going on.
We have the Sonya Chelsea segment backstage. They're upset that they're not getting interviewed because Liv did get interviewed. Well, there's not really much to cover here. They were just putting them on TV, but they're good.
Are you kidding me? There's one big thing to cover in this.
Go ahead.
Chelsea Green's big bow.
Okay, yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was great. That was super extra. I don't know where
she
got it.
Broke on the red carpet the other day.
I know.
We had to crop her feet off. We had to crop her feet out of photos.
Yeah.
But we did agree.
She got on.
We did agree if we're going to run any footage that, that might have her exposed foot, is it at least going to be behind the paywall? We have agreed on that. She understands the value of a good paywall, but
feet are hot commodity right now. You got to protect them.
Oh, brother. Rhea beats the brakes off of Liv, just stomps her arm out. Lyra Valkyria challenged Rhea Ripley to a match tomorrow on a digital exclusive, by the way. But John says Liv's beat down tonight, a way to cover up an injury. Why was Liv written off TV? Is her injury legit? And can you clear up some confusion about what's going on with Liv? Is she being written off for a project or is she shoot hurt? I'm working to find out. I do not have the answer to that yet, but I am asking. I know that she sustained her injury back when she got it. She was supposed to be out much longer than what they thought that she was. She was able to come back. However, they're moving towards the Raquel storyline for SummerSlam. During that period, she was supposed to film a movie actually here in Kentucky. I don't know if that got filmed or if like she's got to go in and film now. Don't know what the process of that is. I believe Charlotte had filmed hers as well, but I mean, I thought the beatdown was effective. It sets up the Rhea or the Rhea Raquel thing because Raquel isn't here. KE775 says, is that at SummerSlam or is the post SummerSlam story? It seems an awful lot to me, Denise, like Raquel would be back in 2 weeks for a match, whereas Liv might not be.
Right, exactly. The thing about this one here, so I'm excited. I hope that this does lead to what you're saying with Raquel and Rhea. I really do want that to be the thing, but I do want to give some credit though to Liv Morgan here, because that beatdown that she took from Rhea was pretty damn good, but I want to give her credit for the selling that she did here. Like, you can tell that she came out on Chucky. You can tell that she's a horror movie fan because she went out there and she was like screaming in pain. And I was like, damn girl, you're really selling it to me. So I really did like what they did there. That freaking headbutt that Rhea Ripley does, holy shitsnits. That's the one that always gets me no matter how many times I see it. When I saw the replay of what they did last week in that backstage segment, and then again, her getting Liv with the headbutt here today. Oh man, that's my favorite Rhea thing. Rhea doing her headbutt, it's my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I love it. Nobody is really like Rhea Ripley right now in the women's divisions in WWE or AEW right now. We've seen something similar like an Impact and stuff, but she's booked very, very strong. And then when it's time to make somebody look really, really good, there you go. Rob Wilkins. Rob Wilkins says $2 toward the men warehouse jacket fund. You know what? I got a nice new jacket out of that. I had to go buy a jacket last week.
Yeah, you told me. And you got recognized at Men's Warehouse. Did you tell that story?
I feel like maybe I did on Listen You Boy, but it was pretty cool. And I could tell the guy was really into wrestling because he's like, oh yeah, I've seen Effie in here too. And I was like, all right, you're deep into it if you know Effie too.
Right, exactly.
But
I was laughing at the idea because you texted me and you were like, I forgot my blazer or your whatever. And then you were like, oh, there's a mall. And then I imagined you at the mall. And I was just laughing for like 20 minutes by myself thinking about you having to shop at the mall. Because I started thinking, like, which store is he going to go to? Like, what store does Sean Ross Sapp shop at the mall? And then you hit me with the Men's Warehouse message. And yeah. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
You answered my question.
Then Best Buy. But I mean, I go to the mall all the time out here.
Stores do you go to?
There's one called Remix that sells like high-end sneakers. Then I'll go to like Foot Locker, House of Hoops, stuff like that, just to see.
But I mean, for clothes, like, where do you go for clothes?
Well, it depends. I like to go to vintage stores for a lot of clothes, honestly.
Are you like a hipster?
I mean, I just like vintage graphic tees. Those are nice. Like,
so you're like a hipster.
I guess. Sure.
I thought you shopped at Kohl's.
I don't know what a Kohl's is. I've
Wait,
never
you
been
don't
to
know
Kohl's.
What Kohl's is? It's
no,
like
I've
a,
never been to Kohl's.
I don't know. It's just like those big stores that they have where you can go buy anything. And I just figured you screamed Kohl's to me.
Oh,
it's like
yeah.
Sears. You're... You don't have, do you have Sears?
No, Sears is like, we had a Sears in the town that I lived in, but it was an electronics store and like an appliance store, not like. Not a full. I know what Sears is.
Do you have a JCPenney?
We used to. We don't anymore. They all like went out of business where we were.
Oh, wow. Okay. We still, because we have all those stores and then we have your new hip stores and all of that, but we still got like those. We got Macy's and Sears and JCPenney and Kohl's and then all the other hip stores around it. But you just seemed like that was where you went to go shop. That's why I was confused, because I can't imagine you going into like an H&M or like an Express or a Forever 21. Like, I can't picture you in those stores.
No, like, I'm a little long in the tooth to be going into Forever 21, Denise.
A lot of people go to Forever 21, even if they're not 21.
I bet you do.
I do. I go to Forever 21. What? I buy generic stuff there. I don't buy some of the other stuff because some stuff.
Like, I'll buy like shorts and stuff like at Old Navy or something, or like.
See, there you go, Old Navy. Yeah. I can picture you at Old Navy.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, the majority of the things that I buy, like, I'm not gonna plug where I go because they got to pay me for that. Especially considering one of the places I get shirts from is a place that used to sponsor us and doesn't anymore. But I usually just get plain tees. I get plain tees, like sports tees or something like that. So I'll go to like Cincy Shirts and get stuff like that. But like my other stuff, like I'll go to Banana Republic or Men's Warehouse or.
See, I didn't expect Banana Republic from you.
Yeah.
It's interesting because where you shop says a lot about your personality and, you know, the clothes you buy.
I'm interested. What does that say about my personality, Denise?
Honestly, I'm a little bit surprised because I just pictured you as an Old Navy Kohl's type of guy. I pictured you just going into any generic store and being like, oh, men's clothes, taking that.
When applicable, sure. But like if I'm getting like a suit or something like that, I'm going to get it tailored, like, or I'm going to make sure that it's decent. I'm not going to just like, listen, I'm not going to diminish where anybody shops. Because I was poor.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it says a lot about your personality. Where you shop at.
Oh, gosh. Anyway.
I shop Orlando everywhere.
Orlando Arego says, Denise, do you know that JCPenney is closing all over the U.S., right?
They are?
Yes, just like I told you.
No, there's one here right by my house that's been like there forever.
Not for long, buddy. We got Andrew saying.
Sales. Sometimes.
I think Liv might have a good chance at the Rumble. Story is already there with Rhea, but we'll see. Hope she's not hurt. I hope not either. When I would go back to school shopping, my grandmother would take me to JCPenney when I was like 8 or 9.
Really? My grandma took me to Burlington Coat Factory. That's where she used to give me a budget and she would let me pick out my outfits because she used to work there. So she would get like an employee discount. So yeah, I would get my back to school outfit at Burlington Coat Factory.
Well, if you're trying to take someone to the Burlington Throat Factory, check out our sponsor, BlueChew.com, and the code FIGHTFUL.
You know, that was a sweet memory that I have with my grandmother. And now every time I think about Burlington Coat Factory, I'm going to think about that now. You just ruined my sweet memory. Thanks a lot, Sean. What'd you say, Burlington Throat Factory? Say it again. What was it?
Yeah, that's what I said. Blue Chew is shipped direct straight to your door when approved online. Just $5 shipping. Man, they weren't even a sponsor today, but they are now.
Oh, they weren't? No wonder. Safely. I was wondering.
Get it delivered safely, discreetly. Quietly, a lot more discreet than that transition that we had. It's got the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. So they're ready whenever you are or whenever you're not, because they get you in that main event mood, if you know what I'm saying. Have better sex at the Burlington Throat Factory with Blue Chew and the code FIGHTFUL. Get that first shipment free. Maxine challenged Valhalla. Valhalla agreed. I didn't much mind Valhalla's little acceptance there. I thought it fit the character. Sure. We got Ricochet promo with Logan Paul. These ain't good, Denise.
I said that last time and I was shamed.
No, these ain't good.
I literally said that last time and you're all like, let's give Ricochet and everybody a chance. Kumbaya. And I was like, bro, these shit suck.
You're making that up, but Jonathan Corona says it'll
be. I live that.
Ricochet versus Logan will be a humper. I agree. The match is going to be great, but whoo, these promos ain't doing it for me.
Yeah,
I would rather. I would rather see them one-upping each other in this amazing stuff that they can do. But this ain't it for me, Denise.
No, I feel really bad because I want to care about this. But every time there's any sort of interaction between Logan Paul and Ricochet, it comes across as like really cringe. Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing that's really not working for me. And that was one of the things that I swear to God, I said this last time when we had Ricochet literally Ricochet over the top rope, and then he just looks at Logan Paul, and Logan Paul's just standing there, and I thought that was terrible. What was that, like 2 weeks ago? Anyways, but and then even before that, remember I was telling you how I felt that Ricochet should be more mad, more angry, and to show that when he was doing the whole thing with Bronson Reed and Shinsuke Nakamura, all that bled into this. Anyways, he comes out there, he's like, homeboy. Come out and show your stupid face. And I'm like, no, Ricochet, no. Don't start it off with homeboy. It just, I feel really bad to say this, Sean, but
Logan's aren't good either.
I can't, they just don't match. They don't have chemistry together. They don't match. I feel like they come from different worlds. They just don't match. They just don't mesh.
I know once they get in the ring, It'll work, but damn, this
bit. I'm more interested in watching Logan Paul wrestle the guy in the front row with the mustache who he told him that he needed to get laid and called him a stupid virgin.
Called him a stupid virgin. Then Ricochet is like, not on my watch, and kicked him in the face.
I'm sorry, but that was
Ricochet
hilarious.
Goes, not true. That guy humps and kicked him in the face.
Okay, I'm more interested in that match right now than what they're doing. I mean, I know Logan Paul Ricochet is going to be good. I hope it's going to be good, but the promo stuff is just cringeworthy.
Guy in the front row was like, now that's not true. I've got a 20% off coupon to the Burlington Throat Factory.
I really want to see that guy's mustache. You can tell a lot of a guy by his mustache.
You can tell a lot by a lot of things. Rock Hard Joel Woods says that may have been the best lead into an ad read ever. Poor sweet Granny Salcedo.
For reals, bro. That's a sweet story, you know. You ruined it.
I'm sorry. Guys, get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Please leave a thumbs up. We would greatly appreciate it. Backstage, there's Judgment Day intimidating Tozawa, and Apollo is like, pick on somebody your own size. So then Damian Priest does and beats Apollo's ass, Denise. I'm glad that this didn't have shenanigans. He won this decisively. It was a okay way to set up the match. But
do you think Apollo Crews should have stayed on NXT? That's the real question. I'm going to say yes, because we were at least seeing him on NXT.
Yeah, I will say yes, because I really think he's got something in him that could be really, really good. And now he's 35. They've made no effort to highlight whatever that is. And we are going on about 8 years now. And they've never done that since NXT through everything. They did the really, really bad gimmick for a while with Commander Aziz. And that's it. I'm glad that Damian Priest is getting a clean win here. He should. I mean, you got to add some credibility to him. They just unfortunately have not had anything for Apollo this whole time. And
I don't think they ever did, to be honest. I think they just drafted him back to the main roster because it would have been weird if they didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. That's unfortunate, but I mean, Damian Priest getting a decisive win, I'm in favor of, and they ain't using Apollo anyway. But Damian Priest, you have to give him those wins. That way he keeps some of that credibility. He is the money in the bank holder. That is a thing. So, I mean, you got to have him pick up wins. I wish they would have him sort of threaten to use that a little bit more, though. Drew McIntyre and Gunther face-to-face. This might have been my favorite thing about Raw besides the Ciampa-Bronson Reed match. Like, I really liked their promo. And I love Drew McIntyre as a performer, but I am actively rooting for Gunther to retain his title because I want him to break that record so much. Like, I'll say this again. I'll scream it from the rooftops. Honky Tonk Man sucks. He's bad. He's garbage. He ain't good. He never was. I'm ready for Gunther to break this record. And, oh, it'd be such a thing to do if they just had him lose it. All I'm saying, I'd be fine with this match having a non-finish. Just this one.
See, I don't even care about the record, to be honest. For me, it's more so of, I don't want to see Gunther without the championship. I just really like him as champion. And that's honestly my only reason I want to still keep seeing him as champion. I really like him. This was cool, though. I liked everything that they did here with Gunther saying that he humiliated Drew McIntyre. But my favorite part was actually Drew McIntyre telling him that he thinks Ludwig Kaiser, it should be the leader of Imperium because he's not boring and that he's got moxie. Meanwhile, he says that Gunther himself is boring. So I thought that part was really funny.
I just really dug this. And then the match that we got afterwards, Ludwig Kaiser, Drew's winning this match. You know he's winning this match. But the two things that are the highlight of this are, one, Corey Graves impersonating Ludwig Kaiser during the match.
I wasn't sure if it was him or not in the beginning. I thought for a second, I'm like, wait, who do they have a guest commentator? Who's doing this? It's pretty good.
It was amazing. He sounded exactly like him. Jonathan Corona says, not going to lie, they should make him the fourth member of Imperium because of those impersonations. It was fantastic. Alex Pawlowski does another great one, but damn, I got to say, I didn't expect that out of Corey Graves. I didn't think he had that in him.
I didn't think so either. I really thought somebody else had joined commentary. And I'm like, why haven't they said who the other person on commentary is? And I didn't even realize that it was him. It was really good.
So after this match, we've got Drew McIntyre and Gunther getting into it. And Gunther takes a filthy powerbomb through the table. Filthy power
bomb.
Bro,
that freaking table exploded.
Yeah, it looked like a rough landing. I haven't heard anything about an injury or anything like that. So hoping that he landed there okay. But I thought that was a great spot. Got me pumped up for the match, too.
If a commentary table had teeth, we saw the teeth get knocked out of that commentary table.
We did. It was a good one. And like, listen, I always love a good table break. I'm always a big fan of that. So I'm here for it. Drew and Gunther, that is just like a really, really good pay-per-view match. And it's a
first time. We know what we're going to get out of these two guys.
Yes, it's a first time one-on-one match. But I thought that Riddle and Gunther was going to be a slapper. And it went 7 minutes. Then they redid it. And I was like, okay, this will be a slapper. It went 7 minutes. So I'm just like, damn, give these guys time. Give them time. N. Simmons says, reminds me of when Roman was a babyface. They try to make him sound badass. Just make him act like a cocky guy who's good and he knows it. It worked for a guy named Rob Van Dam who just acted like he knew how good he was. He knew it. There is no way at this point Ricochet doesn't know that he is amazing. Ronda Rousey cuts a promo. Shane is around too, but their match is set for SummerSlam. Are you looking forward to this one?
Sure, I am.
I think they'll beat the living shit out of each other, Denise. I think they'll beat the brakes off of each other.
I think what helps is knowing how long they have been wanting to work with each other. So you can only imagine all of the ideas that they've been brewing over the last couple of years. And to finally get the moment, I'm sure they're going to go all out.
Yeah, this is a thing you can tell they've probably been talking about for a very, very long time and trying to make that happen. Guys, I hope you'll make some super chats happen that we can justify Denise's gigantic raise. Get those super chats, get those upper chats in. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. Subscribe, tap the bell for notifications, all that good stuff. We're closing in on 100,000 subscribers, but also we're closing in on the 300th episode of Listing Your Boy. Jimmy will be out this week, so as best I know, I think maybe August 9th. Will be the 300th episode of Listing Your Boy. But once we hit 100K, we're going to see some visual changes. make sure you guys are checking out our short form content, not just here on youtube.com/Fightful. We have it on Instagram, but we are leaning a lot into Facebook now. I know some of you still use that. So we're putting a lot more focus into that. The reels over there as well. I've got a new series called Real Fights in Pro Wrestling that is on TikTok, on Instagram, on our Facebook reels, as well as our shorts here on youtube.com/Fightful. So check out some of that. We've also got a ton of match footage as well that you guys are going to like. John Alba did some stuff for us at Death Before Dishonor. I'm running around at a whole bunch of shows. So make sure you check out all this great content that we have for you on Fightful. And subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Tomorrow alone, we're going to have news on the changes to Raw, some injury updates whenever we get them, Brandi Rhodes in-ring future. We're going to have Sour Graps, which is streaming right now, the Select Style podcast, producer info for WWE Raw. We're going to have some contract news from probably AEW, I'll say, this week as well. Today, we had news on where WrestleMania is likely headed to, as well as Royal Rumble. Just a whole bunch of stuff over on FightfulSelect.com. Had news on Edge, Bryan Danielson, Brian Pillman, a whole lot more. And my Backstage Report podcast, just $5 a month. Big Man Griff says, when he wins the title, who should be the one that hands it to Cody? A ref, Vince, Triple H, Dustin, or someone else? Not Vince. Vince, I don't ever want to see Vince on screen again ever, Denise.
It's got to be Triple H, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. He told me that they've never talked about the throne smashing yet, Denise.
Damn.
And he said he's more worried about Triple H finding out about some of the BTE skits about him. Like when he was possessed and rattled off like WWE like trivia and they had Kazarian playing Triple H. And he'll say, he's like, you'll think that Triple H is too busy for stuff. Then he'll reference like something in one of these interviews. And you're like, oh, shit. Tim Winninger says Ronda Baszler fight pit. I would love that, too. I think that would be really, really great.
That would be awesome. I hope they do something like that, because this feels like the big blow off, the big hoorah for Ronda Rousey, you know?
Denise said doo-doo.
You always laugh at that. Always. It's been years, Sean. And every time you laugh.
You know what? You're right. I need to get a little bit more mature.
Yes.
I'm getting a little bit big-headed about myself.
It's not funny anymore, Sean. It was funny maybe the first time. These are not funny. Okay, that one's terrible. That one's so terrible, by the way. That one's going to give me nightmares.
Honestly. Anyway, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor contract signing. Sheldon says, wondering what WWE will do with Finn when he loses to Seth at SummerSlam, since he's the only member of Judgment Day without something. Dom and Rhea are champs. Priest is the Money in the Bank holder. He needs something. What do you think it will be? I don't see Seth Rollins losing this championship right now.
Man, oh God. All right. I just don't think it would be the right thing to do, because right now Seth Rollins feels like the biggest that he's been in a minute. And I feel like getting rid of him as a champion would let go of a lot of other possibilities of things that they could do. So I don't see Seth Rollins right now losing the championship.
For Balor, I think that might be his next thing, Denise. Like once
he think so?
No. I don't think he's going to win the title. I think that him not having something will be his next thing, because he's looking around. He sees Dom with the title. He sees Rhea with the title. He sees Damian with a briefcase. And we get like, how often have we seen people that don't have get a little bit dickish to people who do have that have something that they want, that they wish that they had? And to Judgment Day's credit, they're pulling out all the stops to make this happen. So Judgment Day attacks Seth Rollins. Sammy tries to make the save. It ain't happening. Kevin's injured. He wasn't out there that I saw. So they beat the snot out of all these guys. Judgment Day are being good friends. Even though they have their own things, They're there for Finn Balor. They're making every potential way for him to become the champion happen. And Priest has even said, hey, if I win it, you're getting first crack at it anyway, whether you win this or not. Oh, man.
You want to know my favorite part of this? When Finn Balor told Seth Rollins that he had been a 7-year itch, and now he's going to be his 7-year bitch.
Yeah. Also, FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, confirmed tonight, Denise. Officially, internally, it is Dirty Dominic Mysterio.
I get it now because he's winning by dirty means. I get it now. In the beginning, I wasn't too sure what they were trying to go with Dirty Dominic, but now I get it.
Orlando Arrego says, can you guys give us your thoughts on the Cody documentary last week? So we are under a reasonable embargo by like Wednesday. I think it's the 27th, but I can tell you that I enjoyed it. Like, actually I can probably show you guys through here. I'm a big like wrestling documentary guy. All those are wrestling documentaries. All of them.
Oh, wow.
So I'm big into wrestling documentaries. I really love them. And I thought this one was fantastic, Denise. I thought they did a really good, honest job with it. They covered a lot of things that I didn't think they would cover.
Yeah, that too. Honestly, I think the part that everyone's going to be talking about, and everybody already knows this since this was mentioned in interviews, was the whole thing about him and mentioning wanting to have the AEW all in portion. And I think that's the part that people that watch the documentary are going to be mentioning for sure. And I think what they did, the two things that I really loved about it was, obviously with a documentary, you got to have a nice timeline, right? Sure. A nice timeline of events. I thought they covered that really nicely. But I also loved the production part of it, like the creativity, because there were some portions of the way that they showed Cody when he was like walking in some desert. I don't know what. Was it a desert?
It was made to look like a desert, but yeah, that's what it was supposed to.
But that,
it was
that
a great thread.
Right, there thread. You go. That was really cool. That was very unique. I won't say anything more about that. I really did like that portion, though. I thought it was
unique. And I've still got like a full list of questions that I could ask Cody that I don't think have been asked before, but I was just straight up like, hey, do you still talk to Matt and Nick? And he said, yeah, they review or they approved the BTE footage being used. And I was also told AEW had to sign off on that as well and gladly did so. So
I think it's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting conversation.
Yeah. On Wednesday on what do you guys want to talk about? I'll be able to talk a little bit more about this because we were told the 27th, I believe, is when we could kind of talk about it, but it is worth
given a date. I was just told near the actual release date.
I was told 27th. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Rock Hard Joel Wood says, I think a possible route after Cody and Brock should be Balor. Tons of history to play there with the Bullet Club. I agree. And listen, Switchblade's killing it in AEW. Like, it's such a... He is the big winner. He and Juice are the big winners of Collision. But Switchblade, Jay White, by all intents and purposes, should be in a top-of-the-card feud in WWE right now. He should be feuding with AJ Styles, Finn Balor, or Cody Rhodes right now. Or Seth Rollins. He should be a main eventer, and they fumbled it. Because him and Cody would have been nothing but money. Parker Hines says, how long should Priest hold on to Money in the Bank? To me, honestly, in all these, the longer, the better, unless there's an injury. Like, if Seth got injured and you didn't want to vacate the title, then I think it's used really, really well in that sense. But, Denise, you're back. Are you working the day of SummerSlam, or are you going to a concert that night?
No, oh my God, I swear to God, at least 20 people asked me if I'm going to freaking SummerSlam.
No, I didn't ask you if you're going to SummerSlam.
I know, but I'm tired of answering this question. I'm going to be at the Taylor Swift concert on Thursday. Media day is on Friday. There are no flights to from LA to Detroit that would make sense for me to get there on time for the media day. And if I don't show up for the media day, it's not worth it for me to go. I might as well watch SummerSlam at home. Everybody keeps asking me. I've finally snapped.
I was just trying to make sure that you see if you were hosting our post show, Denise.
Oh, well, you should have just asked.
That's what I tried to do. That's what I just tried to do.
Okay, yes, I will be here doing the SummerSlam post show.
I'm still kind of looking at things because honestly, the last press conference was a little too kayfabe for me, for my liking. I was like,
I know. You told me you were going to hop on and I was waiting for you. And I'm like, this guy never showed up.
Yeah, it was a little too kayfabe for me. And honestly, Money in the Bank. Well, I mean, And that makes me be like, should I change my flight to Saturday and get out of there and come here and be on the post show?
Yeah.
We'll see how it is.
Just to me, if I don't go to the media day, it's not, I can watch at home, you know, that's just sure. what I can do, but I can't because I'm going to be at the concert on Thursday. So I won't make it on time for Friday and I'm not going to get rid of my tickets. Do you know how long I've been waiting to see Taylor Swift at SoFi Stadium? Bro, I had floor seats for Loverfest.
Going
not
to watch
even
Doja
floor
Cat.
Seats. Not even floor seats. Taylor Swift was going to be right here, Sean. Sean, look at my finger. Right here. And I was going to be right here. I'm not kidding you. Like, this was legit my seats for Loverfest. And I got screwed because of, well, life happens. Anyways, so. I didn't mean to go off like that.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't. I just got frustrated because everyone keeps asking me if I'm going to SummerSlam.
I just realized, damn, I'm salty right now.
Why are you salty?
Is
it with me?
No, because there was a date that I was going to miss anyway because the Bengals play Monday Night Football and they're playing the Jaguars Monday Night Football. I'll be at the Doja Cat concert that night in Columbus. So
hey,
I'm going to miss.
That reminds me, by the way, yeah. I'm not going to be here on, I think it's September 11th.
Why, you honoring people or something?
No, I'm going to be at the Jets game, the first one. I know, I'm doing the thing that you got mad at last time, by the way. I'm going to New York right before freaking Grand Slam, and I'm not going to Grand Slam. So yeah, I won't be here that Monday. FYI. I'm going on
vacation. Salty. I gotta fly to Chicago or something to see Doja Cat. Guys, until next time, we're out. Actually, Denise, plug your stuff. Plug your stuff, Denise.
Oh, okay. Damn.
Why is Sean obsessed with Doja Cat? Obsessed with Doja Cat.
Hey, did you see her latest controversy?
Nah, who gives a shit?
Oh, so you don't want to talk about it, huh?
I don't know what it is. I listen to the music. I don't pay attention to anything else.
Oh, I'm sorry. Pardon me. I thought you did.
Tell the people where they can find you, Denise.
Oh, I thought you were about to tell me to let the people know the latest controversy.
No, absolutely not.
I'm always up to date with the drama. But anyways, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. You guys know there's tons of content there. You can also check out my Cody interview, the Brandy interview, Chelsea's interview, Matt Cardona, the Eric Young interview. And yeah, I'll be live pretty much every single day this week on there and dropping an interview on Thursday.
S. Taylor says, what's up with the new nicknames? Dirty Dom, Big Bronson Reed, reeks of VKM. Also, the Ring General Gunther is another official one.
I thought that one's been official.
Yeah, but internally it is official. Oh. But guys, I will find out what's behind that. It sounds like a Vince thing. It really does, but I don't know that for sure. Thank you all so much, guys. Until next time, we're out.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.